Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's show, Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, I had to play that song. You've got high school football, you've got college football, and last night it started, the college football started, and I'll tell you what, I'm excited. Big game for Jasper Southridge. Purdue opens up, IU opens up, Notre Dame opens up. A lot of big games throughout the state of Indiana in high school football, and can you tell I'm excited?
Well, sure, you are pumped, and I know you are. You love that oblong football that bounces strangely and cuts through the air with that tight spinning motion. But football's a great time of year, Joe. I mean, I love football too. I've always been a fan, and there are tens of millions of people around the country and around the Coach K and Joe Show internet world. That's right, folks. We broadcast throughout and around and over the earth via the internet, and you are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're back for another Friday, and we call it Football Friday, Joe.
Yes, it is. It's Football Friday, and I'm fired up, and, you know, we had preseason football even last night. I know it doesn't mean anything, but anytime the Bengals beat the Colts, I'm fired up about that, too.
I knew that you would be happy about that. I knew that the Colts, of course, the Colts had probably their third team on the field against the Bengals' first team. But either way, it was a victory to end the preseason. And, you know, Joe, it's really interesting. Depending on who you are and how you look at things and if your team won or lost, if your team loses a preseason game, it's automatically, who cares? Nobody really cares. If they win, yeah, we're looking better. The preseason is such confusion, I believe, for players, coaches, fans. The NFL makes money on it. I watch a little bit of it. I follow some scores from it. But there, you know, the one thing, Joe, and you being a former football player, there's just absolutely no continuity to the preseason games. In your opinion, what, if any, positives come out of a preseason, other than no one getting injured? What, if any, in your thoughts, come out of a preseason schedule?
Well, I guess the reason they have to have it is they have to evaluate the talent and make the cuts, and you know, that's the only reason they have it. Because, I mean, I don't miss a second of a Bengal game during the regular season. I casually check my phone for scores during the preseason. I don't watch the games. It's just too, you know, too, you know, crazy. I mean, you know, you'll see the quarterbacks, you know, maybe sometimes play just one series because they're evaluating the other people. They're not really worried about the people they know are going to make the roster. And I guess it gets you a little football before the regular season starts. But it's just, as far as a spectator goes, I mean, it would be tough for me to go to a preseason game.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people feel that way, although people do get tickets for it. Some people do go. Maybe it's their only chance to go. But I do know that the preseason kind of weeds out the supposed stars from the real stars. Obviously, some continuity for teams with the younger players to get their feet wet, so to speak, and for that second and third string guy to try to either keep his position on the team, move up, or make the team. One thing I will tell you, though, that has come out of the preseason is that whatever joy was going on from a football standpoint by the mistake, the city that's mistake by the lake, Cleveland. It's pretty much been tempered with Josh Gordon being suspended for a year. Of course, outstanding receiver for the Cleveland Browns, was in a position to set all kinds of records last year, and people looked for him to follow it up, but he can't keep his nose and things clean off the field. There's real questions about Johnny Manziel, and whether he's ready for this league. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good player. I love Johnny Football just because he's Johnny Football. But he's definitely got some things to learn. I think one of the things I've noticed most is that physically, how much bigger everybody is than Johnny Manziel. And, of course, his former college team, Texas A&M, opened up their season last night with the old football coach, highly touted, and we'll talk more about college football as we go on, South Carolina and Steve Spurrier, and dominated South Carolina all over the place on the defensive side, which Texas A&M wasn't very good last year. Their quarterback just broke Johnny Manziel's single-game passing record with 511 yards, but we'll talk about that as we go on. But just to finish up the comments on the preseason, I'm happy that Peyton Manning's healthy. I'm happy that Andrew Luck's healthy. I'm happy that Brady's healthy. I am a little bit worried about one of the receivers out of Denver. Well, you know, he's been around for a long time. Wes Welker used to be with New England. Suffered his third concussion. And, Joe, gosh, enough may be enough for Wes Welker. I seem to have lost Joe. He might be working on something else at this point. Well, having said that, Wes Welker has gone through his third concussion. I don't know. A lot of people say maybe it's time for him to walk away. And I don't know. It might be. We'll just have to see. Hey, folks, we got a lot coming up on the show today. We've got we're going to be talking some Notre Dame football, some college football. We're going to really talk some Hoosier football as well. Of course, IU opens up tomorrow against Indiana State at Memorial Field in Bloomington. We're all pumped up about that because one thing we know, Kevin Wilson's Hoosiers has an outstanding offense. No, there's no question about it. Is this defense better? We're going to be talking about that later on in the show. We're also going to be talking Purdue football. I know Joe's excited about that Boiler football. With the voice of the Boilers, Tim Newton will be talking to him. Tim's been the voice of the Boilers now for 5 years. He's been a part of that university and the program for 25 years. He also is the voice of Lady Boiler basketball, and they've had a phenomenal run as a program. He's done that for over 20 years. So we'll talk with Tim Newton a little bit,
Coach,
on that. Yes.
Also, I had to take a phone call, and Tim Priester from Irish Illustrated will be joining us in just a little bit. The original person we were going to talk Notre Dame football with couldn't be on. So Tim Priester just called, and he's going to be happy to join us here in just a little while.
Okay, that sounds great. We'll let you introduce him and bring him onto the show. Will he be coming up then in our first segment?
Yes, in the first segment.
Okay, so we've got a couple minutes before we go to break, and then we'll be talking some Notre Dame football. So that's exciting because, first of all, the Irish have struggled from the standpoint of PR with some things that have happened. They've got their quarterback back, who as a starter was outstanding. Do they have the defense? Will they have the other skill positions? We'll talk with Tim about that and find out. But it's going to be a great show, folks, regardless. It's going to be a great show. There's so much to talk about, plus high school football. Jasper and Southridge, Joe, big rivalry, big battle, and probably, Joe, the best game on Jasper's schedule that's left. Second game of the season.
Yeah, it's gonna be a great game tonight. I know a lot of people, the West County's all buzz, but it's just it's also going to be, I mean, you know, we're hoping Heritage Hills can rebound from last year, but other than that, Mount Carmel's big running back tore an ACL, and that, but you can never count out that game. But otherwise, it's the schedule is going to be kind of lean this year.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the high schools, not just in Southern Indiana, but in the state of Indiana, and whether conferences been around since the beginning. Although Jasper has switched conferences, but is it time to either change conferences or maybe play a more independent schedule for the schools that have much stronger programs? Joe, I'm getting some ringing going on. Cathedral. We got a little technical. Joe's trying to connect with our Notre Dame guest that's coming on. Tim will be on in just a little bit. Cathedral and Warren Central hook up in the Indianapolis area. And we've got a lot of basketball to talk about. Is the Aaron Gordon situation taken care of at Cathedral? We'll have to find out about that. And then who's hot, who's not, with Don Schulteis will be coming up as well. So if Joe wants
Coach,
to take us to our –
Yeah, Coach, I'm back. I'm sorry. I forgot to mute the – if you've heard a dialing and all that, I'm sorry.
We did, Joe.
You know,
we did.
The technician here, the technician screwed up. I'll fire him after the show. But, yeah, but after the break, we're going to be having – we'll be having a senior editor from the Irish Illustrated, Tim Priester, on to talk Irish football.
All right, well, we're going to go to break, folks, and we're sorry for the confusion. Joe is frazzled today. I'm not sure what it's all about. Maybe he didn't get morning sit-down. I don't think you got your morning sit-down in him. It had to be something like that. When we come back, we're talking Irish football. Tim Priester, Joe will be bringing him on. We'll talk and find out what the Kelly and the Irish have for us this year. You're listening to Friday's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and today is Football Friday. We're going to be previewing IU, Purdue, and Notre Dame today as they look to open up the 2014 season along with high school football. And first up on the Coach K and Joe Show, we'll be previewing Notre Dame with Irish Illustrated senior editor Tim Priester. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to the start of the season here tomorrow.
Well, Tim, this is Coach K. We're excited about the Irish starting it all over again. And I know there's been some ups and downs in South Bend as far as some of the PR with some of the players and some of the academic stuff going on. Is everything gotten back to where Coach Kelly and the team and the people can get focused on football in the start of this season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they, of course, will still be without three starters against Rice on Saturday. Kavari Russell, an excellent cornerback. Davaris Daniels, the leading returning receiver. And Ishaq Williams, the projected starting left defensive end. They'll be without them. The investigation is over. They will have a hearing. We expect a decision to be made on those three along with two other players by early next week. How that'll turn out, I think there's a lot of optimism on the outside looking in. I'm not sure how realistic that is. But, you know, it's game weekend. I mean, we saw all the games last night. I think Notre Dame is, you know, they're in that phase where it's time to move on, at least for this week, and take care of business against a Rice team that, you know, won Conference USA last year, won 10 games. Dave Bailiff has done a nice job with that program. I think it's kind of a perfect challenge for Notre Dame. It's a good team. They have some good players. Christian Covington's an excellent defensive tackle. Bryce Callahan, a cornerback. So Notre Dame will be challenged, but I think it's a game that, you know, they feel like this is a game they can go in and win in their season opener at home.
You know, a lot of people were excited with the return of Golston as quarterback, and but I wonder your thoughts and kind of, you know, I feel like the real battle is won up front on the lines. Skilled players are critical, obviously, but you got to create holes and you got to stop the other guy. What are your thoughts on the offensive and defensive lines for Notre Dame? Are they in a position to handle the type of schedule that Notre Dame plays? Are they where they need to be, or can they get there?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, it always starts up front. And I think in particular in this game and this year, I think Notre Dame's offensive line has a chance to be outstanding. It's deep. Had a bunch of injuries last year, which forced some guys into the lineup. And all those guys came back, or most of them did. Zach Martin was a first-round draft choice, and Chris Watt, also an excellent offensive lineman. But they're deep there, and Rice struggled a little bit against the run at times, gave up 161 yards a game rushing. And the real challenge is for the Notre Dame defensive line, which has lost a ton of personnel over the last 2 years. Rice loves to run the football, 17th in the country last year in rushing. 29 rushing touchdowns, I think, by Rice last year, and Notre Dame's only given up 25 of those in the last 3 years combined. So it'll be a real good test for Notre Dame's defensive line. Rice is tricky. They'll kind of spread you out a little bit, but they'll still want to run the football. So you have to kind of put in dime-type personnel to defend it because they want to spread the field, but they're going to run the football. They lost a 1,300-yard rusher from last year, but they're still going to pound the rock, so it'll be a really good challenge for Notre Dame's young defensive line.
With Everett back in the quarterback spot, he obviously has had a year where he wasn't taking the snaps, where he wasn't back out there. I've got to believe, though, that physically he's matured, emotionally he'll be mature. Is Coach Kelly and the staff feel just confident about his ability to step back in and be consistent in that quarterback position?
Yeah, I really think they do. It'll actually be 600 days in between live snaps for Everett Golston. So you know there's going to be some, I mean, it's kind of shocking when you put it in those terms, but you know there's going to be some anxiety on his part. Rice's got a pretty good secondary. They bring back 20 interceptions in that secondary. So I can see him forcing one just out of a little anxiety. But, yeah, I think the Notre Dame coaching staff is very happy with wherever Golston is. Physically, he's probably a good 20 pounds bigger and stronger than he was the last time he took a snap, which was the Alabama National Championship game. Mentally and emotionally, I think, is the key point there, because there were a lot of times where I know Golston had great difficulty taking coaching, and I think that was just youth and immaturity. But with everything that he's gone through, everything that he's put himself through physically to get bigger and stronger and better, I just think that we're all really excited to see the Everett Golston today compared to the one 600 days ago.
Well, and I don't think there's any doubt that fans, Notre Dame fans, and even those who don't like Notre Dame are saying, you know, this guy has the ability to make things happen on the field, and he seems to make other people, other players around him, make things happen as well. I think sometimes we forget that a great player isn't one who just plays great, but he makes other people around him. And I know there's no scientific way to figure out why certain players make other players play better, but he seems to get other people to play up a level. So that's got to be a positive thing. one of the points you made, and I think it's very interesting, is about being able to take coaching. You know, Coach Kelly is a no-nonsense coach. I think a lot of times, you know, the cameras are on him when he's getting on those guys or barking out orders. That's just his personality. They probably aren't on him enough when he's got his arms around guys, when he's patting them on the back, when he's supporting them. But it is important with a no-nonsense coach like Coach Brian Kelly that a player be able to handle constructive criticism. When you're in the heat of the battle, it's not about how you say it. It's about what you say and players being able to handle that, whether it's Everett or anyone else on that team.
And there's no doubt about it. I've spent a little time in the coaching world myself, and there's absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, when you're trying to get a point across to a player and he's looking up in the stands, you know that he's not really paying attention to you. And that was Everett Golson a couple of years ago. And the interesting dynamic added to this is in Malik Zaire, who's now worked his way into the second team spot. He's kind of the opposite. He takes coaching really, really well. He's very, very competitive. He'll take a chewing from his coach if that's what's warranted, although he hasn't actually been in game competition yet. So I think that has kind of served as a positive influence for Everett Golson, that he has a guy behind him that does take coaching very well. And, you know, I know that this is a topic that Brian Kelly has discussed with Everett Golson. I think we've seen differences in practice situations. Now let's see if it can carry over to a game situation.
As you look at this team, as they get ready to take the field in their opener against Rice, what, for the fans, for our listeners, what are some of the surprises or possible things that players, schemes, whatever, that we might be surprised as we watch the Irish this year?
Well, I mean, those that follow it closely are anticipating a much more aggressive one-gap attack tight defense under Brian Van Gorder. He comes from the NFL where he has great experience. He had great success at Auburn about 10 or 12 years ago. This is a guy that's going to get after it a little bit more. Bob Diaco, his successor, who will be making his head coaching debut at Connecticut this weekend, he was more of a keep the ball in front of you, two-gap guy, zone coverage, just don't let the ball get behind you kind of coordinator. Van Gorder's got a much different approach. I think it's, you know, I think they're much more vulnerable to the big play. And I'm not criticizing Bob Diaco because he did a tremendous job of keeping the points down during his 4 years at Notre Dame. But in the situation they're in right now, with all the loss of the quality players over the last 2 years, like Stephon Tuitt and Manti Te'o and Lewis Nix, I think if you sat back and tried to play a more conservative defense, you'd get pounded. I think you have to be a little bit more attack-oriented with as many young guys that Notre Dame is going to put on the field defensively. So you got to find a balance. I mean, you can't be overly aggressive and play yourself into 80-yard plays against you. And I think Brian Van Gorder has enough experience to know how to balance that. So, I mean, that's the main thing. And then the other thing that Notre Dame fans are looking for is a much improved red zone offense, which has been a huge problem for them the last 2 years. One of the things that have going in their favor is that Rice was 110th in the country last year in red zone defense. So kind of a perfect storm there and a good opportunity for Notre Dame to get off to a really good start in the red zone.
You know, a lot of people, the pundits out there, as I call them, and they're usually guys that have never coached, never had to go through the process of recruiting and things like that. They talk about Notre Dame. They talk about South Bend and the weather and all that other stuff that's out there. Is Coach Kelly, I mean, from your standpoint, are they able to get out there and find the players they're looking for to man his type of offense and to man the type of defense that the Irish want to put out on the field?
I think they have the weapons that he needs offensively. The challenge continues to be able to get, you know, the, quote, 4- and 5-star defensive linemen. They were able to do that when they landed Stephon Tuitt and Lewis Nix, and no coincidence they played a national championship game 2 years ago. But that kind of personnel is gone right now, and it's very, very important that they, you know, that you got to build from what you have, and they don't have a ton of 4- and 5-star frontline guys. And as you know, I mean, you win national championships. The SEC continues to string together national championships as Florida State did last year with top-notch defensive line personnel. They're having difficulty getting that kind of personnel right now, which is why it'll be so interesting to see what Brian Van Gorder can do with what they have.
Well, it starts with Rice, Michigan, right around the corner, obviously. Big game, and with the new playoff systems and things like that. I mean, the schedule, getting wins, much less how getting the win and how many points, but getting wins, you know, Notre Dame's schedule, it's going to be tough. You got Rice, Michigan, in-state Purdue, Syracuse, Stanford, North Carolina, Florida State, Arizona State comes up a couple games after that. There's nothing easy out there for the Irish.
Now, it's very important that they get off to a fast start. They've got Rice, Michigan at home, Purdue, and Syracuse in East Rutherford. So, I mean, Brian Kelly has said it many times during the preseason. He hasn't said we need to be 4-0. He says we need to get off to a fast start. But what they need to do is they need to be 4-0, because after that, you play, of the remaining eight games, you play five teams that won at least 10 games. You have Stanford, you have North Carolina, which is a real trap game in between Stanford and at Florida State. Navy continues to give them problems. Keenan Reynolds returns at quarterback, and he'll be difficult at Arizona State. You know, and then your last two home games are Northwestern, which we expect to bounce back this year from the 5-7 season. And Louisville loses Charlie Strong, but lo and behold, they get Bobby Petrino back, and then they close at USC. So there's no doubt those last eight games are going to be very difficult. It's very, very important that Notre Dame beats Michigan at home and that Notre Dame starts out 4-0.
Well, I love the Irish, and I know millions of people around the country do. And even though, folks, even if you're an Irish hater, that's okay. That's okay, because you're watching and you're following, and that's what it's all about. One Achilles heel for this Irish team going in as we start the season, in your thoughts.
Just not enough pass rush ability, not enough beef up front in that front seven. You've got an undersized former walk-on linebacker in Joe Schmidt starting at Mike linebacker. You have a kid that was a true freshman wide receiver that's playing Sam linebacker for you this year. So, I mean, I just think, you know, bulk. I think when they play teams like Stanford, fortunately they don't play Michigan State this year. You know, Stanford, Florida State, you know, Arizona State, even though they throw it a lot, they can run it a lot too. I think the big concern is, you know, will there be some teams that just physically manhandle them and overpower them up front? That's where Brian Van Gorder's creativity comes into play. And, again, the red zone, they finished 100th in scoring touchdowns in their national championship run year and 112th last year. They've got to be able to pound the football in the end zone when they want to, when they need to.
Well, it all gets started, folks. All gets started against Rice at Notre Dame, at South Bend. It's exciting. You know, when you hear Notre Dame is ready to play football, that's when you know college football is really getting going. So we're excited about it. Tim, thanks for joining us on the show. Great insight. And you know what? You didn't pull any punches, and I appreciate that. You talked about the strengths. You talked about the weaknesses. And that's what we want to know about.
Well, I appreciate that. That's the way we cover it at Irish Illustrated.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. We're going to go to break, folks. When we come back, we're going to be talking some IU football, some other college football that's going on. You're listening to Football Friday on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. That was great stuff. Really appreciate Tim coming on and talking about the Irish. I mean, he didn't pull any punches, Joe. He pulled no punches. He talked about strengths, weaknesses, shortcomings, what can go good for him, what can go bad for him, and I really appreciate getting the straight scoop from guys.
Well, you know, the Irish Illustrated guys, I reached out to them this week, and I think they're interested in being a regular contributor. I know Tim Newton for Purdue, and we've got the IU connections as well to get them on. And we'll be talking a lot of college football, Indiana State is in the state of Indiana football throughout the football season, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. For our listeners who are new to the show, our show takes place out of the southern part of the state of Indiana. We cover national, we cover local, and we cover the college football within state, of course, in the tri-state from Ohio State to Illinois all the way around. UK, if you can call that football. Sorry, UK fans. Sorry about that. Hey, Joe, before we talk a little IU football, let me run through some birthdays today. Birthdays, potentially important people, I guess you could say. David West of the Pacers has a birthday today. And Warren Buffett, I know Don Schulteis, our contributor for Indy High School Hoops and Who's Hot, Who's Not. Warren Buffett turns 83 today. We also know that Labor Day weekend is always U.S. Open weekend, and, of course, that's going on right now. Growing up, always watched the U.S. Open, of course, Connors and McEnroe and Wendell and Borg. Well, a former U.S. Open winner, Andy Roddick, has a birthday today. He's 31. Robert Parrish, the chief of the Boston Celtics dynasty with Bird and McHale, turns 60. Can you believe that, Joe? 60 years old. He looked 60 when he played.
That makes me feel a little old. I know we're getting up there in years, but hearing that he's that old, 60 years old, kind of hits home, doesn't it?
He looked 60 when he played, though. He had that big, gruffy look. Robert Parrish, 60. Adam Wainwright of the Cardinals, excellent pitcher. Great arm if it holds up, 32. Fred McMurray, I know, Joe, you watched it. We all watched it. My three sons, Fred McMurray.
Oh, yeah.
That wonderful, low-key father. Amazing how low-key he was handling those boys as a single father. Michael Michelle. 47. She's from Evansville, Bossy, an actress. You might remember her from ER. Jean-Claude Keeley, 70. Wide World of Sports star. His Olympic gold medals as a downhill skier. Tug McGraw left the world too soon. Great reliever for Philadelphia. Cliff Lee, pitcher. And believe it or not, I got to watch what I say. I don't want anybody who's a Muslim to take it the wrong way. The Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, celebrates his birthday today, according to birthdays of potentially famous people. Any birthdays that you know about, Joe, that I did not cover?
I did not, but, you know, getting back to the my three sons for just a second is I've been trying to let Reese and Raven Reed watch some of the old sitcoms because I think that they're so much better than a lot of the stuff that's on right now. I've got them hooked on Hogan's Heroes. They've watched Gilligan's Island. The twins didn't even know what Gilligan's Island was until about a month ago.
Well, MeTV is a great place to watch those shows, and we watch them too. I mean, you can watch the show. It's funny. It's pretty clean. You don't have to worry about a cuss word every other line or somebody trying to take their clothes off. You know, folks, reality doesn't have to be reality when you're 8, 10, 12, and it really doesn't have to be in your face when you're 40 or 50 either. Sometimes it's just great to sit back and have some fun watching TV. So I agree with you, Joe. Get those kids watching some good stuff. NASCAR, Tony Stewart, will race this weekend. Of course, Tony was involved in the fatality that happened on a dirt track a few weeks ago. I believe the young man's name was Kevin Ward. a 21-year-old it was hit by Tony Stewart's car. There was comments that Tony Stewart would retire from NASCAR racing. It looks like he is not. He will talk to the media today, and he will race this weekend. Leading the NASCAR Chase Series, Jeff Gordon is in first, Earnhardt second, and Brad Keselowski third. That is Dale Earnhardt Jr., the 88. Love Dale Earnhardt Jr. NBA news, Kevin Love officially and committed to the Cavs. World Basketball Championships continue to start to play out. No Love, no Durant, no George. The USA team is definitely, under Coach Krzyzewski, talented enough to win that, but they are just weak enough, Joe. They have just enough soft spots that they could lose, and Spain is a potential team that could take them out. But no Love, no Durant, no George, and really, Joe, is the NBA World Basketball Championships even on anybody's radar?
No, I don't think that there's a whole lot of people paying attention to it. I wish that Paul George would have thought the same as most of the people, that it was an afterthought and would have been resting during the time he got hurt.
And then, of course, we're going to be talking some more college football. I do want to touch on one thing before we talk some IU football. NFL news, and Joe, this has been playing out for several months now. Of course, Ray Rice punches his wife, fiance, I can't remember, in a Las Vegas elevator, punches her out, and then doors open, and he just walks away. He got a two-game suspension. Roger Goodell was just ridiculed from one end of the spectrum to the other. Of course, that kind of pushed the NBA stuff with Donald Sterling off the front pages. But Goodell and the NFL have come out and announced, folks, and whether you like what he's saying or not, whether you think it's too much too late or too little too late, I beg to differ with you. I've got to agree with some of the people out there who say, no, he did not overreact to start with, although there's no overreaction when any male hits a female, it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. There's no excuse for it. It shouldn't happen. Domestic violence is absolutely 110%, no discussion, it is wrong. Having said that, Goodell sat down and did a lot of work with his administrative staff, and they have put out a new policy when it comes to domestic violence. If a player is involved in domestic violence, he will have an automatic 6-game suspension with a review. Now listen, automatic. This is not, we'll talk about it. Automatic 6-game suspension with a review of possible lengthier suspension. And if you go past that first aggravated assault charge, domestic violence charge, you could be suspended indefinitely from the league. Along with that, Commissioner Goodell is going to put together programs that send NFL-connected speakers into high schools and on college campuses to talk about the problems, the situations that can occur, and the domestic violence. There is no place for it, not only in athletics, but anywhere in society. So, as much as we want to spawn the bandwagon and ridicule and get on and take down Commissioner Goodell and the NFL, I do believe he took the time, Joe, to sit down. And, you know, sometimes, folks, Joe, I don't know if you agree with me on this or not, but sometimes you just don't react to the first report. You got to sit down. You got to think through it. Maybe he should have held off on his decision on the 2-game suspension and waited till he got more information, and Ray Rice would be under the 6-game suspension. But in the end, Roger Goodell didn't say, well, I made my decision, I'm done with it. He came back and he said, but we're going to do more going forward for future, to stop domestic violence situations, and if there are some, to make it clear to NFL players, you have a higher standard than the rest of society.
Yeah, I agree. I agree totally with what you just said. But yeah, it's as far as jumping the gun, as far as taking a first report, sometimes you need to sit back and you need to analyze the situation and decide what the proper action, reaction, I guess not, reaction is to that situation.
Yeah, Joe, and I think we have seen throughout the last 5 years, especially because the media drives so much of how people react to things with their first reports. And I've even been caught getting ready to tweet or getting ready to talk about something that I got a report on from someone else, only finding out 30 minutes later, 5 minutes later, or 2 minutes later after I did a little digging, that the information wasn't correct, it wasn't accurate. And when we go out and we rush to judgment on someone, even if in the end they are guilty, when we rush to judgment on something, we really throw feathers to the wind, folks. And you can't get the feathers back. You know, that's my analogy. You throw feathers to the wind, and no matter how much you run around and chase them down, you're never going to get them all back. So I think that Commissioner Goodell, Silver, all those different commissioners of leagues, heads of companies, whatever it might be, you're going to be criticized because you didn't take immediate action on the first report. But I would tell you that the better leader in that position is the one that pauses, takes a little bit of time, makes sure the information is correct, and then creates not just this individual decision, but a broader decision that will keep others or kind of educate others from making the same mistake that Ray Rice and several others have made. Okay, let's get back to college football. Joe, we've got IU breaking out this weekend. They're going to play Indiana State. And, folks, you know, the thing about us talking about IU, Indiana State's obviously an in-state school. There are a lot of Indiana State Sycamore fans in the southern Indiana area, southern Illinois region. It's a decent-sized state school. It's been around for a long time. But it's fun to see Indiana State coming in to Memorial Stadium to take on the Hoosiers. Now, here's the key. Joe does not like the Hoosiers, and he's going to laugh and criticize, and he's already probably got his list and his bet together and put me on the spot. But here's the deal. Kevin Wilson starts his fourth year. Every year, Kevin Wilson's teams have gotten better. And offensively, they become a juggernaut. I know Joe's laughing right now, but they become a juggernaut. The key to this team is what have they done defensively. Last year, a number of freshmen, at least six freshmen, started and played major quarters, major minutes, major games for the Hoosiers. They got some accolades, all Big Ten notice, all American notice, six of them on the defensive side. We criticized the defense all year long, ineffective, not creating enough turnovers. That it put the Hoosiers in a position where they literally had to outscore the other teams in order to win. And people say, what do you mean by that, Coach? Coach K, you got to score to beat the other team. When I say outscore, meaning all the touchdowns, all the scoring opportunities were going to have to come from the offense. And this year we've got to have defensive turnovers. Joe, I'm getting a little bit of static back on your end. The control room's crazy today. They're buzzing and shuffling and everything else. So if you can help me out on that, I'd appreciate that. It's in my ear. But having said that, we are talking about the Hoosiers, so I could see why Joe would do that. The defense has to create more opportunities for the offense. They've got to take away opportunities on the offense for the opponents. I'm hoping they can get that done. We are talking about a defensive unit that has 25 letter winners from last year coming back. 25, folks, but 18 of those are underclassmen. We've got a new defensive coordinator, Brian North. He's got 23 years of coaching behind him, most recently at Wake Forest, where he did a great job with the Demon Deacons of Wake Forest. But the bottom line is, this defense has to create something, has to do something to help a very potent offense. Now, Indiana State, should they be in this game after the, you know, really the first 8, 10, 12 minutes? Probably not. This should be a game that IU starts to dominate on both lines of scrimmage. We hope they will do that, but Indiana State is not somebody to take lightly. They had a fine season last year. They continue to get better. But it's going to be a good test for this young, it's still a young defense, but it's becoming a veteran defense, but it's got to create opportunities for the offense by taking away, takeaways, folks, takeaways from the opponent's offense. So we need a big year from Antonio Allen. We need a big year from Darius Latham. You know, Darius Latham came in last year on the defensive tackle side, and he was highly touted. And a lot of us were critical of this young man. We shouldn't have been. He's only a freshman. He's big. He's strong. He's talented. And he came in and had to take on the role of a veteran defender as a freshman. And that's tough to do. I don't care who you are and where you go to school. Ralph Green III, our linebackers, Clyde Newton, Marcus Oliver, and an outstanding player in T.J. Simmons. These guys, with the rest of the defense, they have to create turnovers, takeaways. And, Joe, I know you don't like to really lament on the Hoosiers, but when you look at this IU team, even though you don't want to give them credit on offense, it really comes down to what this defense can do in order for them to be successful in the Big Ten.
Well, you know, there's two factors I look at for IU's success this year. A, main one being defense. B, keeping the quarterback healthy. With Trey Roberson leaving, and there was someone else that transferred at the end of last season. You know, it leaves them with just one quarterback and with any experience at all. And it is a high-powered offense, but they're going to have to keep him healthy. And also the defense is, you know, the great thing, of, you know, what do they say about the good thing about freshmen is they become sophomores, you know. So, I mean, getting a year of experience couldn't hurt.
I think those two keys would be the keys. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. And, I mean, the schedule is what it is. I mean, the bottom line is the schedule is what it is. You've got Indiana State. You've got at Bowling Green, Missouri, Maryland, North Texas. You've got Iowa, Michigan State. And, my gosh, Michigan State, folks, if Ohio State and Michigan State were the top two in the conference, with the loss of Ohio State's quarterback, and I still think Ohio State's going to be pretty darn good, we'll just have to see how Barnett comes on and does for them in the quarterback position. Michigan State is just out in front of everybody. They just got a phenomenal defense. And so it will be interesting to see when Indiana gets to that point in the Big Ten season, where their defense has grown to, because their offense will be tested by Michigan State, absolutely. Sudfeld comes back. He passed for over 2,500 yards last year, 21 TDs with only 9 INTs. And I say only 9 interceptions. You know, he's less than double figures. He's put the ball up there quite a bit. We've got some decent help in the rushing. We've got Coleman back, 958 yards rushing last year, 12 TDs, 7.3 average. And Shane Wynn, of course, coming back as a receiver. 46 catches for 633 yards. Plus, we have a bunch of receivers. So I really think that the takeaways become majorly important. The defense has just got to find a way, and it's going to be interesting for IU fans as we take a look at our new defensive coordinator, Brian Noor, and what he's got going on. And it all gets started this Saturday up in Bloomington, and I will be there, Joe, with the first game of the year tailgate. It's a noon start, so I'm going to have to get up like 5 o'clock tomorrow morning and pack up my wonderful wife, Janet, and her family, or my family, excuse me, and meet the rest of our family up in Bloomington. Don Schulteis will be there, Dave and Lori Kunkel, a few other people, and we'll be tailgating the early morning breakfast tailgate, the game, and then the post-game tailgate lunch period, Joe, up in Bloomington tomorrow.
Yeah, that game will be on ESPN News for those of you that hopefully have that channel, or you can watch it on, if you have it online, you can watch it on Watch ESPN or on your phone if you're gone. You know, that's the great thing. I'm going to probably be at Liz's volleyball game tomorrow during the Purdue game, and with that Watch ESPN app, the Purdue game is on ESPNU. I'll be able to shift back between ESPNU and ESPN News and watch IU and Purdue, and I won't even be home, so it'd be great. And also if you can't go, you can always listen to our good friend Don Fisher, one of the, if not the best, one of the best play-by-play men in all of sports.
Oh, we love Don Fisher. We absolutely love Don Fisher. And I might say, courtesy of the Lantern Road Partners Coaches Line, financial partners to grow your business, a little bit later on in the show, I mean, coming up soon, will be Tim Newton, the voice of the Boilers, as we talk Purdue Boiler Baker football. Also on Saturday up at Bloomington, I do want to mention that Indiana's football program will celebrate College Football Hall of Famer and IU legend, and he is a legend, Anthony Thompson.
Hello, folks. You still there?
Am I there, Joe?
Okay, you're here now. You broke up for a while. I couldn't hear you.
About that. We've had technical difficulties all day. Anthony Thompson's going to be celebrated and honored up at the football game. Of course, Joe, you know where he's from originally, don't you?
Terre Haute, maybe.
Terre Haute. So it's a perfect time to celebrate the Football Hall of Famer and IU legend, Anthony Thompson. And, Joe, I know you remember many times when Anthony Thompson just barreled through the Purdue Boilermaker defensive line and sprinted on to touchdown and victory.
Coach, do you remember the game they call no Heisman, no bowl, no whatever game, Anthony's senior year? He did a little bowling over. I'll tell you what, I've met Anthony Thompson, great guy. I was actually, when I was working for WBDC, I was going to call on Bill Dobson at Bill Dobson Ford in Washington, and Bill knows I'm a big Boilermaker fan. First thing he did is come back here, and first thing he told Anthony Thompson was, "Hey, this is a Boilermaker," and he's a very class individual. And if I didn't have anything else to do, I would go to watch the celebration, the game, just because of Anthony Thompson being honored.
He is a first class individual. There's no doubt about it. All joking aside, again, Indiana starts off the season, kicks off against Indiana State, in-state school, up in Bloomington. 9 returning defensive starters, 8 returning offensive starters for the Hoosiers. This is a year. I think this is a year when the Hoosiers are going to find their way into a bowl. Joe, I'm not ready to make a prediction on victory, so I hope you're not going to bring that up. But, folks, get up to Bloomington. It's a noontime start. If you can't watch it live, make sure you watch it on ESPN. So, Joe, we're going to go to break, and I guess when we come back, we're going to have the voice of the Boilermakers. Joe and I will be talking with Tim Newton. We're going to be talking about Coach Hazel this Boilermaker team, and can they rebound from just a tough first year for Coach Hazel? Folks, we're going to find out about the Boilers when we come back. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is John Goldsberry, former Boilermaker and Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And you're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're talking with the coach, Ken Schulteis. Folks, we are back with the college preview day. It's Friday, and starting Saturday, we got college football all over the country, and no better place to talk about it than here in the state of Indiana. We've got IU playing, and our next guest, of course, the team out of West Lafayette. If you're a Hoosier fan, you're probably not that excited, but I'm excited because I get to talk with the voice of the Boilers, Tim Newton. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Well, Coach, thanks for having me on today. We were looking forward to the 2014 season.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You now have taken over the duties as the voice of the Boilers, and you do a great job. And now you're in your second year with a second-year head coach, having been there as well with Danny Hope. Can you kind of give the listeners, as well as myself, just an idea of the differences you've seen from the past regime to Coach Hazel's regime now?
Sure. I think that there's certainly a little different style of the two coaches. Danny tended to be a much more, I don't know if laid back is the right word, because I think Danny would bristle if you said he was laid back, but I think he would be considered a player's coach. I think the players really liked him. I think they played hard for him. I think Daryl has come in and has had a little bit more of a disciplinarian approach, which, frankly, some guys didn't take well to last year, but a lot of those guys are gone. I do think there's a different attitude on this football team in 2014, and hopefully that'll start to manifest itself tomorrow. But, you know, they each have their styles. Certainly Daryl's style has worked at Kent State, and we believe it'll work at Purdue, but I think it's taken both the players and the coaches a year of adjustment.
Tim, this is Joe. You know, Danny Etling, sophomore quarterback, he started a bunch of games as a freshman, had to learn on the run. Have you seen, been able to watch him in practice at all in the spring and this fall, and what are some of the things that, you know, he's improved on in that time?
I have, and I think probably the biggest thing you see is his decision-making has gotten better, as you would expect now in the second year with the offense. He's more familiar with the play calling. It's come as a little bit more second nature, so that if his primary receiver is not open, he'll know right away where to go. And I do think that there's a difference in taking over a situation midway through last year, which is what he did, and being the guy. Although he had to battle for his job this fall, he was actually the incumbent coming in, and Austin Appleby was not able to take the position away. But I do think that there's a little bit more confidence with Danny. I think he trusts his teammates a little bit more than maybe he did before. One of the things, though, that Danny has to learn, and hopefully that'll start tomorrow, is when the play's not there, taking an incomplete pass is okay. You don't want to take a sack, and you don't want to try to force the ball somewhere. So sometimes the best throw is a throwaway, and you live to fight another day.
And, you know, sometimes it's hard to learn on the run like that, but, you know, it also especially was hard last year. The offensive line wasn't up to par, and he was under pressure constantly. Now, this year, what do you see as improvement in on the offensive line?
Well, I think the interior of the offensive line is pretty solid. Robert Kugler now is in his third year as a starter, and I think both of the guard positions are pretty solid with Jason King and and Jordan Ruse. The big questions are the tackles. We'll be starting tomorrow with two guys who've never started a college game at tackle, and that's a little bit of a concern coming in. But I think that they've got confidence that these guys can get the job done. And, again, I just think that Danny has to he has to rely on these guys to be able to give him a little bit of time. But if the play isn't there that he wants to see, then he needs to get out of it, get to something else, or, again, just throw the ball away and take second down sometimes. I do think, though, you'll see a better offensive line than we saw a year ago, and I think they'll be a very good run-blocking offensive line. They're certainly a lot bigger than they were last season.
You know, Tim, the interesting thing is that when I look at the Boilers, we've talked about Danny Etling being a young quarterback. Obviously, he was kind of thrust onto the scene last year. He's, I think, 149 completed passes something like that. But let me ask you this. Here's a young quarterback, but he's also dealing with, even though you have some spots of experience, I believe I read where Purdue has the seventh youngest as far as underclassmen team in the nation right now, as far as sophomores and freshmen that are on the team and going to have to be a part of the process as they go forward, starting with this Western Michigan team?
That's correct, and I don't know what the exact number is, but I believe it's something like 70 of the 102 or 105, whatever they've got now at camp. 70 of those guys have either freshman or sophomore eligibility, which is both good and bad news. The good news is you'll have these guys for a while, you can work with them. The bad news is you can teach a lot, but you can't teach experience in one off season. So there is some inexperience at particular spots, but one place he does have experience is the guys that he can hand the football off to, and in both Raheem Mostert and Akeem Hunt, he's got a couple of options of guys that can take the ball the distance from anywhere on the field. So what I think the strategy will be this year, they're going to try and spread the field out back to the days of when Joe Tiller was here and try to create running lanes for these guys who are great breakaway runners, give them some space, get them out in space, and see if they can beat some defenders one-on-one.
Now, you know, the offense, we talked about offense. Let's talk defense for a little while. And, Tim, I am one of the knuckleheads. I am a frequent visitor, as a matter of fact, just a little while ago to Black Illustrated. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask the question that, you know, you've got Juwan Bentley. It looks like he's starting at the Will linebacker. And Galen Robinson will be a backup to Jelani Phillips at right end. What have you seen from them this fall that excites you?
Well, again, I think it's a year in the Greg Hudson system. Greg was the defensive coordinator last year, came here from Florida State. And I do think it took a little bit of time for the players to learn the system and to be able to react on the fly to things. What I've seen so far in the fall is they're able to get out a little bit more and just play instinctively. I think they understand the defense a little bit better. You mentioned the one guy in particular that I think everybody's going to be excited to see is Juwan Bentley. He's a true freshman out of Maryland. He's about 6'2", 6'3", and he goes 250, and it is a solid 250. This guy is going to be a player, whether they can play him inside or outside. He's got the ability to do both. But I think the key for Purdue's defense this year, and it's something we didn't see at all last year, is the ability to get consistent pressure on the quarterback without bringing a blitz. If you go back when Purdue had its great teams under Joe Tiller, there was always that great defensive end or two that could create some pressure and put the quarterback under some duress. And we didn't have that last year, and as a result, the secondary got left hung out to dry a little bit. That's got to change this year. And one of the guys that we're hoping is going to change that is Ryan Russell, who's a fifth-year senior out of Texas, and he's one of those guys that you keep waiting for him to take that mantle as the next great defensive end at Purdue. Well, this is his last chance, so hopefully he'll have a big senior season starting tomorrow.
Starting a new season, you know, you're always, you know, the freshmen, everyone's always excited to see freshmen, you know, on the field and see what they can do. And, you know, I've mentioned Robinson, I mentioned Bentley. Who are some of the other freshmen that you think might contribute to the Boilermakers in 2014?
I think two that you'll see right away and probably starting tomorrow will be at the wide receiver spot. Gregory Phillips is a kid out of Georgia that has really impressed everybody over the summer. and then again in fall camp. He just seems to catch everything that's thrown to him, and he's got a great work ethic, and I think he's shown the ability to create some separation, and I would expect to see him on the field tomorrow. We'll also see Trey Hart. Trey is, I think, generously listed at 157 pounds, but he put a lick on one of our defensive linebackers during one of the scrimmages this fall that was probably the biggest hit of the whole camp. Again, he's a fearless kid. He'll go over the middle to catch the ball. He played on a state championship team in Texas. You know, he's been around good football, and he's not afraid to be on the big stage. I think Phillips and Hart will play. The other guy I think offensively that has a chance to play who's a true freshman is Kirk Barron. Kirk is the backup center right now. He's a kid out of Mishawaka who came here at the semester break in January. So he has been here through a spring practice. And if something were to happen to Robert Kugler, you'd probably see Barron slip in there at the center spot.
Jim, as I look at the Boilers overall this year, you talked about Coach Hayes wanting to spread that field out a little bit offensively. You do have the majority of the guys who caught receptions last year are coming back. I think I read 80-something percent of the actual caught receptions last year returned. You talk about some solid people in the backfield to run the football. Here's my question I'm going to throw at you, and I'm sure you get this from everybody who's concerned about Boiler football or where they're going to stack up. You got a young offensive line, it appears. You got a defense that has a lot of question marks. Can Danny Etling, can those receivers, can these running backs, can they find the holes? Can the offensive line hold up, and can the defensive line put enough pressure on the other side of the ball? Just your thoughts on that.
Well, those are good questions that we're going to start answering tomorrow. Again, I've been asked probably a million times in the offseason how Purdue football will be, and my immediate response is always better than last year, with the caveat that understanding that that's not a real high bar to clear. But they will be a better football team. I think the talent level is better. I think that there's more confidence in what they're doing. I think that the coaches are understanding the players a little bit better and vice versa than a year ago. So, yeah, I do think they can do some things on both sides of the ball. Certainly we'll find out when the bullets start to fly for real here. But I'm looking forward to seeing this team has done the things that Daryl Hazel has asked them to do in the offseason. They've gotten bigger. They've gotten stronger. They've gotten faster. They've worked harder. He said it's one of the hardest working groups he's been around. He's been around some pretty good football teams. Now the question is, how does that manifest itself every Saturday? And that's – we get 12 exams that are open to the public, and so we'll have our first one tomorrow.
Tim, you know, we brought in a punter in the last recruiting class who, was, I don't know, for whatever reason, went back home. But we've got Tom Meadows and Parker Flynn listed in the two deeps as the punter. Can you tell us a little bit about the punting situation and where we might stand on that?
That's probably one of the biggest question marks coming into tomorrow's game, both the place kicking and the punting. Last year you had a first-team All-Big Ten selection in Cody Webster, who unfortunately got a lot of work his senior season. Tomorrow it'll be Thomas Meadows, and he has kicked well in both the spring and the fall. He was the kickoff guy last year, and he was in the mix a little bit in terms of place kicking, but they've asked him now to just completely concentrate on punting. I think that they're confident in what he can do, but again, he's a guy who's never punted the ball in a college football game. So when he kicks it tomorrow, and hopefully that won't be often, but when he kicks it, I'm sure that Daryl Hazel will be just as anxious as anybody else to see where the ball flies the first time. I think the other thing that'll be interesting to see is who will be the kicker, because there's been a real battle in camp. Paul Griggs is the incumbent, but had an off year last year and has been a little bit erratic in the fall. They brought a transfer in, a kid who graduated from Wabash College. He's actually originally from Westfield, Indiana, named Ian McDougall. And Ian had a great senior season at Wabash. He was 15 of 17 last year. And he and Griggs have been neck and neck. And it'll really be interesting to see who winds up being the kicker here when the season starts tomorrow.
Now, we kick off the 2014 season tomorrow against Western Michigan. But looking down the road, what are some of the key games that you're looking forward to in this 2014 season?
Well, I think as you look at this schedule, it's certainly more manageable than last year's, which is not to say it's going to be an easy schedule, but last year you had Cincinnati on the road and you had Notre Dame early on, and then you had to play a Northern Illinois team that wound up in a BCS bowl the year before. This year I think the key games are the early ones because Purdue needs to have some early success, not only for their own confidence, but also – just as importantly, I think, to get the fans excited about this team and basically to try to put 2013 in the rearview mirror. So I think the important games, and any coach will tell you the first one's the biggest one, and then they'll say the second one's the next biggest one. I think these three games at home to start the non-conference season, where you've got Western Michigan tomorrow, Central Michigan next week, and then 2 weeks from then you'll have got Southern Illinois. If Purdue's going to have the kind of season that they think they want to have, they have to win all three of those games. You're going to play Notre Dame down at Lucas Oil Stadium. Even if you lose that, if you win the other three, you go into the conference record with a 3-1 mark. Now you've got a chance to really kind of make some things happen. If you're not 3-1, though, you start to wonder, well, where are these wins going to come from? You were winless in the Big Ten last year. Certainly that opening game against Iowa and then the second game at Illinois are key games because those are going to set the tone for the rest of the Big Ten season. So I really think, though, this is a schedule that they need to have early success, and that success has to start tomorrow.
Jim, as I look at a little bit at the roster of Purdue, I got to ask you this question. I noticed that they have a guard, Corey Clements, and he is listed as the largest football player in college football in 2014, 6'8", 400 pounds?
Not a typo. I can tell you I found out where he was. I found out where he was during training camp, and I always stood behind him because he was a great shield for the sun. He's a very, very large individual. He moves surprisingly well. I think the big question with Corey Clements will be what kind of conditioning and how much he can play. He's a good run blocker. I will say that he struggles in pass protection. And when they originally brought him here, I think they had ideas that he might be a tackle, but I think they found out pretty quickly that they were going to have to move him inside. He's all of 400 pounds, probably a little bit more, but believe it or not, he's lost weight since he got here. So he's a big kid. It'll be interesting, again, to see how he can stand up and if we get the heat and humidity that we're looking for this weekend and maybe in the next couple of weeks, I'll be anxious to see how much he'll be able to play. But he's really, really big.
Tim, we've got, after I think it's a two-game suspension that David Hedlund has. Am I right?
Three games for David Hedlund. And that was... David Hedlund is a kid from Stockholm, Sweden, who played on a club team over there, and because he had played on an unsanctioned club team, the NCAA originally had suspended him for 5 games. They reduced that to 3, so he'll be able to play starting with the Southern Illinois game, and he'll slide in right away and play that left tackle spot. He probably, along with Kugler, was the most impressive offensive lineman we had in training camp.
Tim, before we let you go, I want you to help the Purdue sports marketing department here just a little bit. You're not going to have to convince me. I'll be at Ross Ave Stadium a lot of weekends. Tell Boilermaker fans why they need to be out there in those seats and not watching it on the Big Ten Network or somewhere else.
Well, and I understand, and I've talked to a lot of fans in the offseason, and you know, I'm the last person in the world to tell people how to spend their money. The only thing I can tell you is this. This will be a different football team in 2014 than it was in 2013. And Darrell Hazel talked about it earlier this week at his press conference. I think people will really get behind this team. They're going to play hard. I think it will be a more physical team than it was a year ago. And I think with the guys like Mostert and Hunt and some of these receivers, they've got the ability to create some really big plays offensively. So I think it's going to be an exciting team to watch. The other thing is, if Purdue's going to get to the place where they want to go, which is back to being a winning football team, playing in bowls, competing for championships, you've got to have everybody on board. And that goes out for everybody from the support staff at Purdue to the players to the fans. And I know, again, it's really hard to say, well, let's forget that 2013 season. But you can change a lot in the world. The one thing you can't change is the past. And so people have got to stop looking at the rearview mirror, and they got to keep looking out the front windshield and see where this program is going. And I really believe that under Daryl Hazel, it's going in the right direction, and I think we'll start to see the start of that journey tomorrow.
Well, Tim, as we end up this segment with you, Joe, I agree. They need to get out to Ross State Stadium. It's a great place to watch games. Take your radio and your phones with you so you can listen to the voice, Tim Newton, call the game. But when you got a little downtime, Tim, it's not like you're doing nothing. You've done Purdue's women's basketball for 25 years, and that's as good as it gets on the college level on the women's side.
It is, and it's going to be another exciting season. I think Sharon Versip's got a great collection of talent coming in. And Coach, you know, through your days, you can teach a whole lot in the world, but you can't teach size. And they're bringing in a 6'4 and a 6'5 kid this year, which for the women's game is pretty big inside. I think Purdue's got a chance to be, again, very good. And it's been a great ride for me to be able to do both of those sports. And, of course, I think Matt Painter's going to get this men's basketball program turned around. I just have a feeling 2014-2015 is going to be a good year for Boilermaker Athletics.
Well, being as you came out of New York, I know that's your background, coming out of New York as a young man, you have truly become totally connected to Purdue Athletics, Purdue University, and the West Lafayette area. So you're as much a Hoosier as I am and Joe Milligan is.
Well, I appreciate that. I have outgrown an affection for pork tenderloin, so I think that does make me an official Hoosier.
Tim, great having you on the show. We appreciate it. We hope to have you back as we get a little bit further into football season and see where the Boilers are at. I think Coach Hazel is going to get it done. Everybody's got to work hard. Everybody's got to believe. Purdue fans, get out there and support them tomorrow against Western Michigan. And, hey, football season is here, and that's what it's all about. Thanks for being with us, Tim.
Coach and Joe, anytime. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're talking more college football, a little pro football, and just about anything else. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family, cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Great talking with Tim Newton and hearing about Boiler football. I know a good friend of mine, he's a sports editor at the Lawrenceville Daily. Bill Richardson was listening along. He's a big-time Boiler fan, as is our own Joe Milligan. And great to talk about Boiler. I'm an IU guy. I admit it. I'm not going to lie. But I don't mind talking about the Boilers. I don't want to see anybody get crushed the way they got crushed last year, and hopefully Coach Hazel and the guys can lift that up a little bit. So, Bill, when you're up there, Bill Richardson, when you're up there at West Lafayette watching those Boilers, hoping they score, remember I'll be in Bloomington watching the Hoosiers, watching them score. Okay, we're back on the show. We've got one of the all-time greats when it comes to sports reporting. He's done it all for years up in the Dubois County area. Fellow Hoosier himself, at least he loves the Hoosiers, I know that, Kurt Duxell, WBDC Sports Director, the voice of the Southridge Raiders. Kurt, welcome back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, good morning, and quit picking on our buddy Billy Richardson. I'm coming to his defense this morning.
And I know that he appreciates that. You're going to be kind of torn this weekend up in Bloomington. Before we talk some Southridge Jasper football, you're going to be kind of torn, aren't you, the Indiana State? You've got your connection educationally with the Trees and now the Hoosiers. Who are you rooting for?
I just watch the games. No, it's going to be fun. In that state, they're going to struggle. They were 1-11 last year, and they were talking about their offensive line being bad. That and the combination of Indiana trying to play better defense, and they've got things that they want to do defensively. So last year, Indiana put like 70 on the board and gave up 35, but we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Well, I'm just excited. It's football season. Kurt, we love that. We love the fact that people are going to get out there and we're going to hear all the pundits say why they should have won, why they didn't win. But in the end, it's guys getting out there and competing. And, you know, we just talked about the Hoosiers a little bit earlier. I think we all know what needs to happen. Even though that defense returns 9 starters, they're young guys. And hopefully that year that they got, becoming veteran players on the defensive side will pay off big this year.
Well, I think because they're good players, not only young, but they're good players, and a lot of them were highly recruited. And Coach Wilson, I mean, usually they say you got to make it happen in year 3, but they figured that Indiana was in such a mess that they're going to try to make it happen in year number 4. And we all know that offense can score a lot of points. And Indiana just needs to be bad defensively, and they'll be okay, because the last few years they've been really, really, really bad. So that would be an improvement. Basically that's what's come out of Bloomington. If we can just be bad to average, that's going to correlate into 2 or 3 more wins. So nobody wants them to be bad, obviously, but it would be an upgrade.
Kurt, that may be the slogan. We got to phrase it somehow. I'm sure Joel, IU's bad defense. IU, be bad on defense. Some way we're going to work that out. But that's great. That's a good way to look at it. As always, Kurt Kupsel, being positive, finding that positive spin for the Hoosiers. Big game coming up tonight in high school football. I mean, when you talk about local rivalries around the state, none gets any bigger than this, especially since Southridge has an outstanding football program, as does Jasper, in their area, in their class. But before we get into the initial game situation, I've got to ask you a big question from a Southridge standpoint. Were the donuts good today, Kurt? And did you eat them all, or did you save some?
Well, a lot of my work partners take care of the donuts. You know me, I'm in physically tip-top shape, always looking out for my health. So I passed on those sweet treats. But, yeah, some of the football parents brought them in. We enjoyed them today. So it all goes with Friday game days. I mean, and that just goes back to what leading into a game like this. I've never seen, and I've been doing this for a long time, just people go nuts on Friday about the football games coming up. I wish they, you know, I would do that on other sports and other programs, but people just go crazy about high school football. And that's what it's like, not just here, but throughout the state. So, you know, we have good time on Fridays, especially in the morning around our radio show and whatnot.
Well, I do believe that's just one of the neat things about high school sports. In and around a lot of communities, the parents, you know, obviously they've got a vested interest. Their kids are playing, and they want their kids to have the most positive experience. You know, we get a lot of negatives from a lot of critical fans, things like that. But that's the fun part, the moms especially, doing the little extra things for the players and including the sports department as well. And of course, you got to make sure you give them a shout-out on the radio tonight for all those extra carbs that they brought in, all sugary and icing over. But let's talk about this game. I told Joe earlier in the show, and I mean this, and maybe it's a discussion later in the show or maybe another show, but this is probably, based on what Jasper's schedule looks like, the biggest game as far as from a competitive standpoint, as they will play the rest of their regular season until they get into the playoffs. Unfortunately, I say that because you'd hope that there was some more competition on there. But I think Southridge has an outstanding program. They've got a solid team. I don't know what they'll be like on the Lions versus Jasper Lions. I know Jasper's big and strong. But, Kurt, this is a big game from the standpoint that it really lets Jasper know where it's at this point in the season early, and it also lets Southridge know where they're at early at this point in the season.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And this used to be the first game of the season, and it was tough coming right out of the gate for Southridge, or even Jasper for that matter, when Southridge turned more competitive. But now it's in game two. You can look at some of the stuff that you did right and wrong in week one and know that you're going to play a really good team on both sides that's going to test you. And when you leave the field or Saturday morning when they look at it and the coaches look at it, you know where you got to go from there. And it's going to be a highly competitive game. And you're right, Jasper will not play I won't say a good team, but a team like this until they get into the playoffs. Southridge has a few just because of their size and playing up in some classes and some 3A opponents later on that they might have some physical battles with. They've got a little bit better schedule, but again, you can't help it if you're Jasper. But you're right on with that assessment of Jasper's, what they're going up against tonight, and also what Southridge is going up against tonight.
You know, Kurt, Jasper and Southridge both had some really solid skill players. Of course, Craig and Stetter for Southridge and Jasper with Aarons and Aulis and a number of other guys. But I look at this game and I think about the offensive and defensive lines, what they're going to be able to do. Southridge graduated a pretty solid core of linemen last year. Do you see this a battle of attrition at the line? I mean, how do you break this game down? Does it come down to skill player? Does it come down to line play? Does it come down to who gives up the big play? As you look at this game, and folks, you know, this isn't the end of the world game. It's early in the season, but it's a big county rivalry with a good, solid group of kids. How do you break this game down, Kurt?
Well, I think to answer your first question about where does it come down, I would say all of the above. You know, I mean, the lines are, you know, Jasper and Southridge. Southridge has a smaller line than Jasper, but they do have some experience up there. Jasper, with, you know, they're a good quarterback, they're a good tight end. Southridge, they have a good running game with Craig. It may come down to special teams. Craig ran two punts back last week. And sometimes you can be coached up as much as you want on a special team situation or an open field situation, and Connor Craig may just run away from somebody, or Austin Aulis may get loose on somebody and just run away no matter what kind of line setup you have or how you were coached or all the X's and O's. I mean, I'm sure you've been down that road where you set up the perfect defense and a guy bangs home three three-pointers, you know, in a stretch of a game. So whoever plays the overall best football game, and I would think a lot of it will come down to the line play on both sides of the ball, if it's just a run-of-the-mill ball game. But if it's one of these deals where big plays take part in a scramble type of situation, that could go either way with both these teams too, because they have all kind of guys on both sides that can make plays, both Jasper and Southridge. So it's going to be hard to tell where the key of the game is going to be. I mean, you can throw all kinds of things out there, and you agree with everything, you know what I mean? And you won't be wrong in that situation. I know that's probably a bad answer because we're supposed to pinpoint the keys of the game, but this is the things that I'm getting from the coaches. They really don't have a grasp where it's going to come from.
Yeah, both teams have started out with wins to start the season. Of course, Jasper beat Memorial over at Harrison's Field down in Evansville. Memorial just really was never in the game and made mistakes throughout the game and physically just couldn't handle some of the strength and size of Jasper. Southridge, I believe, opened up with a win against Corydon. What did you take away from their first game and their first win?
Well, I think there's an opportunity to get some. I think the thing that they were pleased about the most in Southridge's case was some of the new guys played pretty well. You never know how they're going to play once, you know, the real games start. You knew what you were going to get out with some of the veterans, like a Stetter, like a Craig, and he was beyond expectation with 150 rushing yards to go with the two long punt returns. They really liked the way they played defense in that game against Corydon, but they also, you know, as a coach would look at the tape and say, you know, we didn't do a lot of little things right, and only they look at that stuff. The fans are all giddy about the big win, but the coaches find all kinds of stuff to look at. But overall, I think they were pleased with the way they played in an opener against a program that has been pretty decent down through the years. And I think Tony was the same way with Jasper. Memorial's, although they didn't, you know, play as well as Coach Hurley probably would have liked, you know, it's not going to be just a pushover game, and you need to do something about it, and Jasper certainly did.
Yeah, you look at these teams and the emotion of the rivalry. I'm not so sure that there's a major home field advantage. What are your thoughts on whether it's played at Southridge or Jasper? Do you see, when it comes to football, or especially this particular rivalry with the teams the way they are, is home field a major advantage here or not?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I mean, the bus ride's 15 minutes away, and, you know, the crowds are going to be great no matter what. I mean, Jasper's going to have just as many people over there than they would if it was a home game and vice versa. So I don't think the home field advantage does much here in this type of situation.
And Jasper's coming off a game against Memorial where they played at Harrison on turf. Of course, Southridge has turf, so they both have played enough on that it doesn't make that big of a difference, although, I mean, from the standpoint of the experience on it. So we're looking at a solid matchup. I believe they moved the game back a half hour to kind of accommodate the heat situation.
Yeah, they did. I made a comment, it's like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. I mean, 7:38, still going to be hot, but I think both these teams are great condition-wise, and that shouldn't be a problem. They're used to it, but they maybe half hour help a little bit.
Well, before we let you go, and I'm going to ask a question. Joe may have a question, because, you know, Joe's got the vested interest. He's got a son on the Jasper team. I know he's all excited about this game because we've had nothing but technical difficulties back in the studio as Joe is getting nervous about the Southridge-Jasper game. But before I let Joe maybe jump in here, I do want to bring up a couple of other games that went on last week. Gibson Southern starts out the year and just dominates in their opening game. Thoughts?
Well, Gibson Southern is going to name their score in almost every game that they play. They're just that good. Forest Park, they're not at that level. And Ross Deuce, their coach, told me, you know, we were just outmanned in a lot of places. And Gibson is, they're playing really good football right now. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of lopsided scores in favor of Gibson Southern this season.
The one thing I look at when I look at this matchup, the one thing that always sticks out to me is, the longevity of the staffs on Jasper and Southridge. And personally, between you and I think that both have a great coaching staff, and, you know, that lends to the success of both programs.
Oh, I certainly agree. And I've always talked about that. That's how you build these football programs. It starts with coaches and the staff that you put together. It's not money. It's not the kids. It's the staff that you put together and the commitment that you make for coaches in that vein. And these coaches have, at least in the Southridge case, been assistants through three or four different head coaches. So, you know, they just like football. They like Southridge, Jasper the same way. They've kept their staff together, you know, plus or minus a couple of guys. So these two teams, these two teams are not going to get out-coached on their schedule anytime soon.
Well, Kurt, I don't know that there were any major surprises that came out of that first week. Looks like from the standpoint of teams that were supposed to win, they did. Teams that didn't. Southridge comes in with a victory. They look to be healthy. Jasper comes in with a victory. They look to be healthy. It sounds like it's going to be a great matchup on a hot, steamy night over at Raider Field.
Most definitely. A lot of times I can sit there on a Friday morning, Friday afternoon, and tell you what's going to happen in these games, and the anticipation is not going to be very good. And I can honestly say at 11:30 on this Friday that I'm just looking forward to it to see what happens. And anything that happens tonight won't surprise me. So when that's the case, no matter what you do in life, I think that's great. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's great stuff. Great stuff. And, of course, the Hoosiers open up the next day, Saturday. I'll be up there with one Don Schulteis and several other people tailgating behind McNutt right there, I believe, on Forest Foster Avenue, something like that. So that'll be exciting. And before we go, Kurt, I got to bring it up. I know you don't like it, but I'm going to bring it up. Your Dolphins My gosh, 14-13 over the hapless Rams. What kind of Dolphin season is this going to be?
Since when does anybody put stock in preseason? Especially the last preseason game. The Colts got ripped by the Bengals last night, which the Bengals are going to be really good, by the way. But Andrew Luck and Dalton didn't play. The last preseason game, render that useless. That being said, I still don't know what kind of team the Dolphins are going to have. So that's up in the air right now. We'll find out when they play the Patriots in week one.
It's pretty. It's just a great time of year. College, high school, NFL opening up. Great stuff. Kurt, thanks for being with us. Look forward to talking to you next week. And just, I know you're going to have a great call. Can listen. How can they listen to the game and listen to Kurt Gukesel tonight?
WBDC 100.9 FM and on the World Wide Web at WBDC.us. Anywhere in the world.
Yeah, anywhere in the world, just like the Coach K and Joe show. Kurt, thanks for being with us. Catch the Raiders and Jasper Wildcats in football action tonight. High school football is a lot of fun. As kids give it all they got, the fans give it all they got, the coaches work as hard as anybody at any level with the time that they're able to put forth. So get out there and watch them. We're going to go to break. When we come back, more football, more of everything on the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles, since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You know what that means. That music by Jerry Reed. It means that Don Schultheis, Indianapolis High School basketball sports contributor and the voice when it comes to who's hot and who's not, is on the show. Welcome to the show today, Don.
Coach, great to be on for Football Friday. We got the Hoosiers opening up tomorrow, Notre Dame, Purdue. Tons of other college football teams. It's going to be a great weekend. It's a long weekend, too, Coach. So there's going to be a lot of football to be able to take in while we're all enjoying this last holiday weekend of the summer.
And, of course, you and I and our families and some friends will be up tailgating behind McNutt for the IU football game. We're starting early because it's a noon game, so we'll have breakfast tailgate. And for those who can stay around, post-game lunch tailgate.
Yeah, we're doing something new this year, Coach. We're going to have some sausage, egg, breakfast sandwiches to start the football day off with since it's an early start. And afterwards, we'll supply little burgers and brats. And I've got everything put together, ready to go. I'm excited to get going on that. And hopefully we'll have some good football to watch.
Yeah, I think we will. Before we get started with who's hot and who's not with Don Schultheis, I want to remind our listeners, all of today's guests are courtesy of the Lantern Road Partners Group, our coaches line, sponsored by Lantern Road Partners, financial partners to grow your business. They'll make you hot.
case you're not. So who's hot? Who's not, Don? Let's get after it. Coach, I'm going to start on the not hot side, and this is not sports related. You know, every once in a while I'll throw in something that's just caught my eye in the news. I'm an avid reader and devour a lot of different news and input, but this really caught my eye. And some of your listeners may have heard, may have not, but a former Muncie woman faces up to 8 years in prison, Coach, after being convicted of attacking her former boyfriend in March of 2012. It's taken this long to get through the legal system. But she attacked him and left him with a torn scrotum. Coach, the victim, now 59, testified that the injury required stitches the night of the attack and later reconstructive surgery. Coach, for the victim and the attacker, who's going to be spending 8 years because of that female, I guess, jealousy, or I don't know what happened between them, but, ooh, that is not hot.
No, it's not, and that's causing a lot of males to adjust themselves right now. It's a little nerve-wracking.
All right, we'll get back to the sports side, but I just thought it might add a little humor and something a little bit different to the list this week. But as most of your listeners probably are aware and watch, but I have to bring it up because that Little League team from South Korea wins the Little League World Series by beating the U.S. winner from Chicago and in the Midwest region winner 8-4 on Sunday. Outfielder from South Korea, Don Won Sin, said he wants to go to the Blue House, which is the equivalent of the White House in South Korea, and meet the president. Coach, it doesn't get better than that as far as sports go, that Little League World Series championship game. They're still playing for nothing. South Korea, the Little League World Series champs, you're hot.
Absolutely, and I'm glad it wasn't North Korea. I sure wouldn't want him going to see that guy. But we'll be in Chicago coming up next week, Don. We'll be there watching the Cubbies for two. It would have been neat if Chicago could have won that Little League World Series. Maybe they would have been throwing out the first pitch or something like that. But a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And South Korea, you are hot.
All right, on the not-so-hot side, you may have read about this or seen it on the news. Sam Bradford, Rams starting quarterback, tears his ACL again and will be out for the season. It's the second straight year that he has torn the anterior cruciate ligament in his left knee, Coach. Head coach Mike Fisher said, and I quote, "We lost our quarterback. For Sam, it was devastating." So, Sam Bradford, St. Louis Rams, you're not hot.
Ouch. That's all I can say is ouch. And the Rams are in a big struggle without him.
Yeah, I will say, just as an aside for information, you know, he was rated the 29th out of 32 quarterbacks. So maybe it's not that big of a loss. I don't know. You know, for him, it's devastating, no doubt about it. On the hot side, 15-year-old Cece Bellis becomes the youngest player to win a match at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York City earlier this week. Cece beats 12th-seeded Dominika Cibulkova 6-1, 4-6, 6-4. It's the first time a 15-year-old has won since 1996, any kind of a match there. So Cece Bellis, and she's a U.S. player, so maybe there's some bright lights coming for the U.S. women's tennis here in the near future. Cece Bellis is hot.
And so is Don Schultheis, being able to pronounce some of those names so well.
All right, on the not-so-hot side, Tiger Woods back in the news, announcing that he's dumping his swing coach, Sean Foley, after 4 years and no major titles for Tiger. Wood taking the next 3 months to strengthen that back that's been giving him a lot of problems the last year plus. He's trying to get Butch Harmon back, who coached him for a number of years and was helping him to 8 major titles when they were together. I'd say Sean Foley, hitting coach or swing coach for Tiger Woods, or I should say not anymore, ex-swing coach for Tiger Woods, you are not hot and you're looking for a job. And it just makes me think, why so often, Don, we see this in individuals in professional sports, in with teams, even in business, in families. Why, when things go well, Charman and Tiger and different things, where they decide, well, it's time for a change or we better move to something different, only to end up back at square zero or line zero in the same situation? Yeah, the inside scoop on that is that Butch Harmon has told sources that Tiger Woods is extremely difficult to work with. He's quite a head case, and it would take a lot for him to go back to work. So maybe it was just a lot of personality and maybe some hubris, Coach, that sometimes when you're enjoying a lot of success, people gain, and that leads to their downfall.
Oh, yes. Hubris, great word, great thought, absolutely.
All right, on the hot side, Coach, we're going to turn to high school football. I just thought this was interesting. Bo Trudeau. It's a nice rhyme. Bo Trudeau, who is the senior high school football player and quarterback, starting quarterback for Pike High School here in Indianapolis, is the son of former Colts quarterback Jack Trudeau, passed for 6 touchdowns, 298 yards, and a 59-19 thrashing of rival Brownsburg. They're both over on the west side, Coach. This was Bo's first start as a quarterback. He's backed up a really good quarterback at Pike the last 2 years, so it was his first start. Jack, his father, who is the quarterback coach at Pike, congratulated him after the game last Friday and told him, and I quote, "I've never thrown 6 touchdown passes in a game. It's awesome." So Bo Trudeau, starting high school quarterback for Pike High School here in Indianapolis, you are hot.
That's an awesome story, Don, for Jack Trudeau and Bo to experience. That's really neat, really neat.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's some of the good sides to sports. And, you know, Jack went on to talk about how Bo has waited patiently and very constructively during his time of being the second stringer. And that just adds to the great storyline of him finally getting his opportunity and excelling. So, well, you talked about this one, Coach. It's on the not hot side. You talked about it as your lead-in on the show today, but yes, Wes Welker of the Denver Broncos suffered his 3rd concussion in the past 10 months of playing professional football. Coming on a cheap shot, and I say it, cheap shot, dirty pool shot, hit by the Texans' DJ Swearinger. And it was all over. Swearinger got fined for it. Peyton Manning ended up getting into DJ's face on like the next play, and he was flagged for taunting Swearinger, and I know what he was taunting them about because of the cheap shot. And it was announced a little bit, I think it was yesterday or late on Wednesday that Peyton was going to have a fine to pay, but Peyton said it's worth, I accept the fine, and it's worth every penny of it. So Wes Welker, boy, he's got a decision to make, Coach, and he's on the not side of the list this week. I know what decision I would have to make, Don, and I hate to say that, but gosh, his health. He's still strong. He's got a lot of years ahead of him. I sure as heck hope that he takes the side of caution on this one. Yeah, me too. All right, I got two more. I'm going to go one more not hot and then a hot, and then we'll wrap it up. I know we're getting close here. Many have heard about this. This is unbelievable, Coach. USC's starting defensive back and co-captain Josh Shaw was celebrated for allegedly taking on two high ankle sprains, for jumping out of a second-story window or level to save his 7-year-old nephew from drowning. And he injured both ankles, and that was the story he told his coaching staff and the university, and they made a big deal about it. You know, it hit the press, and this good story, and he went on to say that he would do it again, no problem, and he would do it for anybody. But now, after getting a couple of calls placed into the university saying that that was not the reason he got hurt, the university and the football program took a little closer look at things. And on Wednesday afternoon, Josh admitted to lying and making up, fabricating the entire story, Coach. It turns out he did hurt his ankles to what he called a fall. But USC has suspended Josh Shaw indefinitely, and he is struggling. They say he's left campus and kind of going on a hideout. It kind of reminds me in a smaller way of the Monte Teo situation. But Josh Shaw, for lying, where's your integrity, captain of the team? Bright future ahead of him, touted as one of the top players in the Pac-10 conference. You are not hot. Unbelievable. Doesn't matter what level, doesn't matter what program, guys just make silly, silly decisions. No doubt about it. All right, we're going to end on this story, which is a great feel-goal good story. Former linebacker for Minnesota State University out of Mankato, Isaac Kolstad, was brutally beaten this summer on May the 11th by two former University of Minnesota football players in Mankato. He was rushed to the hospital. He sustained brutal head injuries, Coach, swelling of the brain. They had to do brain surgery to alleviate pressure. He lost ability to walk, talk, you know, just those functions because of the way that the brain works and the damage that was done to the brain. Well, it was announced that he was dealing with the Mayo Clinic neurosurgeons. He recently went to an appointment at the Mayo Clinic. Walking down the hall, he was seen talking and laughing. And it looks like after the neurosurgeons had told the family when they performed the surgery that, hey, if he lives, he will be in the worst kind of shape after this, and there's nothing we can do about it. So this is a miracle story for the Kolstad family and for Isaac. He's got two little kids and a wife. He was the honorary captain, the first home game for the Minnesota State University out of Mankato, and it is just awesome. They said that his prognosis of healing and getting better is really high and positive. So, Isaac Kolstad, you are hot. Great story. Great way to end it. Again, why these things happen in the first place, just poor decisions made by people, lack of self-control, but we hope and pray, along with many other people, that he'll get full recovery of every part of himself, physically and mentally. Don, great stuff again. Of course, we're going to be up tailgating this weekend as we go
hey,
into
Coach,
the last
can I say
few
one
minutes.
Thing?
Can I
sure.
say one more thing?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to appeal to all your listeners. I think you're aware of this, but you know, my family has attended Cathedral High School, and earlier this week we had a death of a student. A student committed suicide coming off last week. There was a suicide at Brebeuf Jesuit High School here in Indianapolis, and then today I just heard that there was a sorority sister down at IU that died, and the talk is that it was suicide. And I just want everybody to, you know, focus on their kids and help them understand that they needn't give up hope, because it's getting to be a really major problem with our youth today. And I just want to ask everybody to pray, but really give your kids a hug. Talk to them regularly about the support that they have, and if they get into binds, that they can get out of them. There's ways to work out of them. And let's get rid of these kids losing that much hope to end up having to decide to take their lives. So I apologize for that, but I think it needs to be said and spread. And I agree with you, Don, and I think the difficult thing for everybody is how to get your young people or even people our age, adults, family, husbands, wives, breadwinners, supporters, to see that there's a tomorrow, regardless of whether, you know, you want to go out and do your best, but doing your best is all we're asking. It's not whether you accomplish this level or whether you make this or you become that or whether you get straight A's. Those are great goals. Whether you start, whether you get a play, whether you make the team, those are great goals. But you know what? All of them are temporary. Tomorrow comes and there's more opportunities, there's more things that you can do, there's more fun, there's more life to live. It doesn't end with a goal. It doesn't end with making something or becoming something. There's more out there, folks. And I said this before as I talked with my father, Ed, who coached for many years and was an athletic director and raised us. You know, we get so caught up in whether our kids, if we're sports-minded, play on the team or make the team or get a start. Guess what? In 4 years, it's over. Maybe they go on to college. It's over. Very few will make the next step. And life continues, and joy continues, and fun times continue. It doesn't end with either reaching a goal or not being able to make that goal. So your point well taken. Again, we want to thank our Coach's Line supporter, Capital Road Partners Financial Group. We also want to thank Edward Jones, Janet Schulteis, one of our supporters of the show. Folks, this is the time to create legacies for your kids, to create retirement opportunity, whether it's early or later, whether to build wealth for all your hard work and your effort. Don't leave your money with your former employer. Get that over to somebody who can help you nurture it, build it, prosper it. Janet Schulteis, Edward Jones, financial advisors, they got the plan. It's been around for decades. It works. It's good stuff. Give her and Beth a call at 812-479-8215. We're coming down to the last few minutes of the show. Joe, great show today, great guests, great contributors, and I think Don left us with a great message. There's so much more to life
than what is sitting in front of you today. Stay with it. Give it a chance. Lean on someone, because there are a bunch of tomorrows with a lot more coming at you. So we just appreciate everybody's contributions today. And of course, high school football is going on tonight. It's Football Friday. A lot of good games. We talked about Jasper, and we talked about the Southridge game. Cathedral, one of the top teams in the state, although they're 0-1, they will take on 1-0 Warren Central up in the Indianapolis area. Of course, there's a good Ben Davis team up there as well, a number of good teams around the state. If you live in the southern part of Indiana, Memorial takes on Mater Dei in that Catholic rivalry. Bossy in Washington, Paoli Central, Indianapolis Howe comes down to play Harrison. That's a long trip. Henderson County will play North, and undefeated Wrights, also usually a top team in the state, will play Paducah Tillman. Gibson Southern and that high-powered offense will take on South Spencer 0-1, but South Spencer's got a pretty good team, so we'll have to see what happens on that. And, of course, folks, we can't forget we've got IU going tomorrow. We're going to end this episode and this Friday edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. We appreciate you listening. Have a great weekend.
And for Coach K, I'm Joe, inviting you to go out to a high school football game tonight. Most games, $5. You won't find any better entertainment for the money you spend. So for Coach K, I'm Joe, saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
They always call him Mr. Touchdown. They always call him.